Coming up, you'll hear the powerful story of an unlikely friendship between a pastor and an atheist. That's on today's Focus on the Family. Stay with us.
When I'm around my best friend, I can be however crazy I want, however silly I want, and they remind me that I don't have to change because they love me just the way that I am.
So my best childhood friend really shows that they care for me by reaching out and asking how I'm doing, and they just don't want the simple, I'm fine, but they want really a true, deep answer.
The best part of my best friend is the fact that no matter how long in between visits, it's like we just left. We giggle, we laugh, and we're still there for each other all the time, no matter what.
Well, I wonder if you have a friend like that, somebody who obviously cares for you and wants the very best for your life. That's our topic today on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly, and thanks for joining us. I'm John Fuller.
John, today we're going to hear from an unlikely friendship between two men that has spanned more than 20 years now. One at that time was an atheist, the other a pastor, and somehow God intertwined their lives and their families into this remarkable story of friendship and encouragement and tenacity, unconditional love, redemption. So this story definitely reminds me of Proverbs 17:17, which says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. I always thought, I got two older brothers. I thought it meant they were born to tease you.
Well, so there could be some of that.
Today, I think we're going to learn a new spin on that. Mm-hmm. I think the scriptures sum up this friendship perfectly, and I'm eager to unpack those details with our two guests.
Yeah, we've got Walker Hayes, a Grammy-nominated singer and songwriter. He has sold millions of copies of his songs and albums, and he and his wife, Lainey, are the parents of seven children. Craig Cooper is a Bible teacher and storyteller who speaks at churches and men's retreats and other venues. He's formerly one of the founding pastors of Redeeming Grace Church in Franklin, Tennessee, and he and his wife, Laura, have four children, and together, Walker and Craig have written a book about their friendship, and it's called Glad You're Here: Two Unlikely Friends Breaking Bread and Fences.
And not only are they good friends, but they're also neighbors. Now, let me say hello to both of you.
Hello.
Welcome to Focus.
Hello. Thank you for having us. Let me
ask you, the book talks about this moment where you guys tear down your fence. Now, you've never heard that fences make good neighbors?
We were sitting outside on your patio, and Walk said, hey, why don't we surprise the girls, our wives, and just
rip
down
that fence.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right there, that's not a good thing.
Well, what was happening was the kids were jumping over it and going back and forth between each other's houses over COVID. And when he said that, I was like, I didn't hesitate. We just jumped up and we ran straight to the fence. And we started yanking it down. It took us about 45 minutes or so to get it.
And your wives were
tore it up.
Yeah, your wives were calm watching this.
I mean, they've known us long enough. they weren't surprised, and they were smiling the whole time. I mean, our kids had already kind of carved a path, you know, in the grass. So yeah.
So
that was
good.
Down.
Yeah. Let me go back, Walker.
Yeah, yeah,
let's
yeah.
go back to the beginning and kind of fill in for the viewers, right. the listeners. Where were you at? You wanted to be a music star. Just give us a feel for where you're at 20 years ago and what was going through your head.
Oh, shoot. I mean, 20 years ago is when I got married. You know, Lainey and I were engaged on a whim. I played a gig in Mobile at a bar, and I loved it so much that I stopped selling real estate. That night, literally, just quit and had a dinner with her parents and said, hey, you know, change of plans. I think I want to go to Nashville and try songwriting. So, yeah, that's where music kind of started for me 20 years ago. That's what got us to Nashville. But, yeah, Lainey was up for the adventure, and we moved. I mean, it literally drove from our honeymoon in a U-Haul.
Wow.
And got an apartment. I mean, it was amazing.
So you're thinking, okay, I'm good enough. I'm going to become a musician, and someone's going to notice me. I'll get signed to a label. This will be great, and we're going to have our kids, and everything will work out. But it wasn't quite like that.
All that stuff you thought would have been smart, I wouldn't even, you know, I just was thinking, let's just go and figure it out. You know, I didn't know what a label was. I had no idea how many kids we were trying to have. I just wanted to sing, you know, just wanted to write songs. Yeah.
It's pretty amazing, actually.
It was, yeah.
So how long were you a waiter?
I actually was a waiter at Macaroni Grill in college. So yeah, I sang.
Bingo,
dude, got some experience there singing "Happy Birthday" in Italian, you know, for tips. But yeah, man, I did that. I've done all kinds of jobs, you know. And when I met Craig, I was struggling. I'd just been dropped. This was 15 years into my journey, maybe 13 to 15 years into my journey, and I had just been dropped from my second record deal, and I was into my third publishing deal, so not making any money at music, and was about to apply for a job at Costco.
In that moment, I mean, so often we have people on here, it's perseverance, and you know, but it probably doesn't feel like it at that moment. You're going, okay, I'm sure Laney's going, you sure you want to keep doing this? Because we got to eat.
Yeah. No. I mean, oddly enough, my wife never, I mean, it's astounding, and it's probably unbelievable to hear, but she never, that's one blessing. Laney never once said, hey, do you want to get a normal job? I mean, she was always extremely happy and joyful in times of extreme poverty.
Well, maybe we should publish your marriage book. Coming out soon from Focus on the Family.
Laney should write a book. But yeah, no, there, you know, I definitely questioned myself as a father chasing a dream. Like, would I be a better parent by giving up, you know, my dream and getting a normal occupation that fed my kids, you know, better food and got them better clothes and XYZ. But yet, you know, I definitely doubted myself then.
In that state, you were also battling with alcohol and you're drinking and probably medicating through that. I don't know, but
yeah.
describe it for yourself.
I mean, I started drinking when I was 13 and didn't stop till I was 35.
Wow. So that's amazing.
Yeah. That was just kind of how I coped, you know, with any hardships of life life in general. But I was a functional alcoholic and definitely relied on it to perform, you know.
Well, I mean, there are many, many people in that spot.
Yeah.
So you're talking to a large swath of folks that are in that spot even now. Let me ask you, though, spiritually, you weren't a Christian. Maybe you had an interest, but describe for yourself what faith or no faith you had at that time.
At that time, when I met Craig, I had zero faith. I mean, I grew up, my dad was a music minister before he was a realtor. And so I grew up and I was in church. If the doors were open, I was there. And then, you know, as I got older, I went the other way.
Wow.
And so, when I met Craig, I was an atheist. I mean, I didn't believe any of it. I was cordial, you know, with my wife, who was a believer. And honestly, that was really one of the only arguments we had in our marriage, because it was like, what are we going to teach our kids? We didn't fight about money because we never had any. And so our marriage was, you know, pretty peaceful. But yeah, when I met Craig, I was not a believer.
Let's get Craig into this. Craig, welcome in.
Thanks.
So you're the neighbor. You're watching this. I don't know what you're thinking and where you're at, but tell me a bit about your background, how you grew up, and how you ended up next door to him.
Yeah, a little bit like Walker. I grew up in a church setting. You know, if the doors were open, I was there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Ended up becoming a leader in a youth group there, and I would say I was very familiar with the idea of Jesus, but I didn't know him. I didn't have a relationship with God at all. I didn't realize it. It was all religion to me, and yeah, that's what was happening in me.
And it was about college, sometime in college,
freshman year of college, bang. Yeah. So I had, when I was 17, working as a bag boy at Red Food Store in East Tennessee, I had a wooden cross that would hang on a rope necklace. And I remember the first really spiritual conversation that I had was this lady kind of stopped me after I'd helped her unloading the groceries. And she said, "You're such a kind young man. Do you mind if I ask you a question?" And I said, "Sure, shoot. What's up?" And she said, "That cross around your neck," and she pointed to the wooden cross around the rope necklace. And I said, "Yeah." And she said, "Is it decoration or is it real? And I had never really had anybody challenge me on that before. I didn't, you know.
Right between the eyes.
Yeah, I kind of looked down and I smiled and laughed and said, a little bit of both, I guess. And then I walked off and I couldn't get that question out of my head. Wow. You know, that cross around your neck, is it decoration or is it real? And for me, what I realized is it was decoration. And freshman year of college, I went to the University of Tennessee and I was invited to a campus ministry where I heard the gospel. And I realized the cross is not decoration. It's a declaration of God's love for us and sending his own son to live the perfect life we could never live. And then to die as a substitute in our place so that we could be forgiven and have eternal life. And that night I was born again. My life completely changed. And the campus ministry director said, hey, Champ, what's God doing in your heart? And I said, I want to give my life to Jesus and I want to do what that man's doing. And I pointed to the guy who had just shared the gospel with me. And that kind of put me on a trajectory of ministry, towards ministry. And yeah, went into ministry, got let go from the first ministry position, really broke my heart. And the Lord used it to draw me to himself. And we bonded over that, actually, when Walker, you know, was telling me about how he had been released and dropped from, you know, a couple of record labels. I could relate because I'm like, yeah, dude, I got fired from the church that where I had, you know, heard the gospel, came to faith in Christ and went and served the campus ministry and got burned out. And we bonded over dreams and we bonded over brokenness. Mm-hmm. Both of them happened and the Lord just created this friendship that was like the smile of God.
You mentioned in the book that your church upbringing or orientation kind of gave you this sense of prudishness. Either you observed it in other people or you had it within yourself. Mm-hmm. Speak to that element and then even reaching out for and looking at people differently.
Yeah, I think God had to break my own heart, you know, to give me a tender heart for the broken. I think that's what happened. So it was the hardest thing one of the hardest things I'd ever gone through was being let go from that ministry position. It was also one of the best things that could have ever happened to me.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. You feel like it's the bottom of the moment, though, that you're at the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah, God used it so much in my life to draw me to him and also to show me he didn't need me. Like, that church did really well after I was gone. And it was helpful to just watch. Hmm. And he just healed me in that. And then the church hired me back 5 years later and said, we want to send you to help plant a church. Hmm. And I kind of got trained to do that. And then we moved to Nashville in 2012. And we met the Hayes family in January of 2014.
Yeah. Hmm. All right, now we've set the background up, and I think it's important knowing where you're coming from, Walker, Craig, where you're coming from. You end up next door. I believe your wife asked your wife, Walker, to church, and you didn't want to go.
Yeah, and just for factual, we were not neighbors
at that point.
At this point.
Okay,
yeah.
So they knew each other.
They met at my wife met Craig's wife, Laura, at a doTERRA oil party. Which I guess
that was a thing.
Like a Tupperware party, but oil, you know?
Essential oils.
That girls do.
Yeah. Which we don't even do.
Yeah.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah. You know, yeah. I do now. I'm very familiar with the
well,
oil.
You're creative.
World. Yeah. No. It's just, there's some good oils. But anyway, they met and then they saw each other again at an Upward basketball game. So our kids played basketball at the same church, and Laura invited Lainey to church. And honestly, at this phase of our life, I thought we were finished with the church hunting phase. You know, my wife honestly had gotten quite comfortable with no, you know, services on Sunday. I mean, for gosh sakes, we had five kids, and that's a lot, you know, getting up. And so she had stopped by then bugging me about, hey, let's try this church, or I want to be a part of this community. But so when Laura invited Lainey, I was devastated. I mean, I was like,
your plan was ruined.
Oh man, I was like, this Laura, why did this Laura?
And we met on Saturday nights, so you didn't.
They
have
did. So they met on Saturday nights, which was during football season, which was pretty terrible also. But she drags me to this church one night, and I've had a good amount. This was prior to me quitting. So, you know, I'm drinking. It's Saturday, football day. And I'm riding in the shotgun seat. And as we approach the building, there's no lights anywhere. And they're sharing a building with a really old church. And I have no idea where we are. And I made the joke of, I feel like I should call someone before this cult, you know, kidnaps us. And and even Lainey, my wife, she cracked. She laughed. The kids laughed. Everybody thought it was funny. But yeah, man, we walked in this church, and you know, when you walk in with five kids, everybody turns around to look at us. And I look like this, you know, my hair is probably a little longer, and I probably looked a little shaggier, and I reeked of whatever I was drinking that day. And I'm sure we had a baby. We always had a baby. And and Craig beelined for me. And he just came straight up to me. He shook my hand super hard. He made awkward eye contact, you know, just would not look away from me. And he said, I'm glad you're here. I mean, he kept saying it, as you can imagine, you know, you've met the guy. Glad you're here, dude. I'm so glad you're here. And honestly, I just thought, oh, you know, he's probably the greeter guy, you know, of this, you know, this church. And that's where it all began. Mm-hmm. I didn't love the church, you know. I didn't go home and nothing really changed. I just was intrigued. There was something about this guy that said, I know what you don't believe. I even know you're probably a little tipsy tonight, but I'm so glad you're here. Mm-hmm. You know, and that, I don't know, that information shocked me, you know, in a little way.
You felt accepted.
Yeah, I
That's
did.
What it sounds
and
like.
I'm not even sure I liked it.
Right.
I'm telling you now, I'm reliving it, thinking I was probably a little agitated and probably going, what's the catch here?
Yeah, you know, all like, of it yeah. at
yeah.
one time.
Yeah.
Is this true?
Exactly.
Yeah, I could imagine that.
Yeah, and Craig, earlier you were talking just a few minutes ago about kind of brokenness and mm-hmm. how God was working through you to understand grace. Yeah. So go back to that moment. What were you thinking as you encountered this new family and a guy who might be drunk?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I was just blown away. They came, you know, it was a church plant meeting on Saturday nights. We're in the winter when the sun sets in Nashville around 4:30.
Or noon.
Yeah. Feels yeah. Like. And there's a lot of hurdles, you know, to overcome for somebody to come. And also, I'm familiar with outreach and everything, where you end up, sometimes people will say, yeah, we'll come, but they don't show up. Mm-hmm. And Laura had told me about, you know, that moment where she had invited Lainey, and then Lainey said they would come and all that kind of stuff. So I think I was just genuinely elated that they overcame all of those hurdles and walked in the door. And so, yeah, Walk says, I said, glad you're here, and he felt it. I know for me, church had really changed. We spent a year at Emmanuel Nashville, pastored by Ray Ortland Jr.
Oh, yeah.
But he had an opening that he shared every Sunday, and I had embraced that as, this is what God wants, you know, for us. And it was, to all who are weary and need rest, to all who mourn and long for comfort, to all who failed and feel worthless and wonder if God cares, to all who have sinned and need a Savior, this church opens wide her doors with a welcome from Jesus, the mighty friend of sinners. We're so glad you're here. And
woo, like,
that's yeah. good.
So that, let's go.
So that was like, you know,
kidding from, me?
Kind of getting you.
From me, we adopt. Yeah. I adopt that. Yeah. So it's like, man, anybody who walks in these doors, like, this is God's. But there's a million other places you could be on a Saturday night or a Sunday morning in the greater Nashville area. And for the Hayes family to walk in there, I just saw it as a gift from God. Mm-hmm. And I recognized, I think, you know, man, this is a friend. I was looking for friends too. I mean, I was new in the area. We ended up doing dinner that night. Like, hey, have y'all eaten? And they said, no, you want to go eat? And they said they love a place called La Hacienda, which is a Mexican restaurant. So we just took it over with our families and our kids. And I left that night like hungry for more time with him. And I think the Lord was doing something.
Walker, we need to tie a knot in alcoholism.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, how did the Lord restore that for you, or, you know, take that appetite away?
Mm. Wow. I mean, yep. Miraculously, I was working at Costco, also playing shows during the day anywhere I could, and then at night, and it began to wear on me. I worked there about a year, and I actually just turned 9 years sober this Woo! Past October. I don't know the exact day. But I mean, honestly, the only way I can put it is I woke up on a Saturday. It was an off day for me, and I felt sick. I mean, my body felt ill in a way that I had never felt in my entire life. And I feel like it might have been the fatigue plus the amount, you know, that I was drinking. I mean, I basically fell asleep on the couch with something in my hand, and my wife would remove it before I spilled it and then start a new day. And I had to clock in at 4 a.m. To stock shelves, and then I would leave Costco at 11 and then go write or do shows. And so I woke up on this random Saturday, and I felt like I was going to die. I felt like I would die if I continued another day. Almost to where I kind of detested it.
You just turned. It just turned.
Yeah, it's like I just literally was like, I can't do this another day. It was a sickening idea to continue drinking.
Yeah.
And after so many years, I find that odd. But I didn't drink on a Saturday. That turned to a Sunday. That went a week. Sobriety began to feel like a high. I mean, I felt 17 again. You know, it was the clarity.
Yeah,
the, I felt young.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was incredible. Again, I was not a believer when I quit drinking, but that's where that began. And then for a while, I continued to quit because I didn't want to go backward. You know, I just, honestly, I have a history. There's addiction in my family, and I knew that it was miraculous, and I knew that backsliding is not what I wanted to begin, you know, doing over and over and over.
Well, it's obvious that God was doing something special in Walker's life, and we're looking forward to more of his story next time. Meanwhile, we'd certainly recommend you get Walker and Craig's book, Glad You're Here, Two Unlikely Friends Breaking Bread and Fences.
What I love about this story is how God can transform the heart of anyone, even those who seem unable or unlikely to ever change. And it would have been so easy for Craig or Walker's wife, Lainey, to judge Walker as a lost cause, to walk away from someone who drank too much and wasn't providing for his family and couldn't care less about their faith. But somehow, Walker and Lainey sensed God was at work, and they trusted God, despite evidence to the contrary, that something better was yet to come. And I love that heart for somebody, because I think that's the heart of God. We in the Christian community need that kind of hope, believing what Romans 8:28 tells us. All things work together for good for those who are called according to God's purpose. Now, I want to encourage you, as you listen to programs like this one, help us spread this good news message to as many other families that need to hear this good news.
Thanks for listening to Focus on the Family with Jim Daly. Inviting you back for part two of Craig and Walker's story. For now, on behalf of the entire team, thanks for joining us. I'm John Fuller.
Want trusted parenting tips delivered straight to your inbox? Sign up for our free e-newsletter at families.org.au and get exclusive advice to help your family thrive.